I don't know how much sleep this man's gotten, because I sat there and watched TV last night, and he was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And now he's here.
Well, I mean, come on.
I mean, I know it's 4:20 in the afternoon, but still.
Yeah.
Still.
Depends if you're a plane sleeper or not. And I would imagine with Bob having been in the association for 25 years, I'm guessing, he has to have learned to sleep on planes.
Well,
by now.
Let's find out. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Bob Fitzgerald joins us now right here on Willard and Dibbs. How much sleep do you get, Bob?
First of all, how does Dibbs shortchange me by 7 years?
Yeah, I was
Bob.
I'm like, I'll take the over.
My first Warrior game in 93. It's 32 years ago.
Well, Bob, if you've been doing it for 32 years, that means you're a certain age, and I know you're a couple clicks older than me, and I guess I have a hard time coming to terms with how old I am. So let's just pretend it's your 14th year, and it's the year 2000 again. Bob, I'm
so sorry.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Sounds good. No, I am not a plane sleeper. Kalena Azubuki knows that, and he sits on the aisle. I sit on the window, and as soon as the plane's engines start, he is asleep. And usually if I have to get up in the middle of the flight, I have to climb over him. So he's not thrilled with me on that. But no, I'm a movie guy. I'm a read-a-book guy. I'm a check-out-the-news guy. And for whatever reason, I do not sleep on planes, which really sucks for my job.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What time did you get back to your house last night or this morning?
Hey, you know what? It looks great about 4 a.m. in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
There's no traffic. It's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least you guys had a happy flight, I would imagine. How do you think, you know, there was the disappointment in Toronto, but then to rebound, what do you think that did for the guys emotionally?
Well, here's a funny thing, just to just give people a little window into the world here. Pro athletes don't really get too high and don't really get too low. So a lot of the flights are the same, whether it's, you know, a nail-biting win or a super tough loss. And because the job, the games come so fast and furious that I think if you rode that roller coaster, you would drive yourself crazy and you probably wouldn't be able to center yourself to kind of keep going in the long grind. So I mean, guys were happy, but they were okay flying out of Toronto too, even though that was a real very frustrating loss. But I think what the road trip showed, and it's we've seen in the Warriors 20-20 right now, is that they play the most clutch games along with Minnesota as any team in the league. They led the league in clutch games last year. All these games come down to the final 5 minutes. Unfortunately, in the last couple of years, the Warriors have kicked away a bunch of those games. Just they're not the dominant, you know, closing team that they used to be. But they're in the mix. They're entertaining. And on any given night, they can get you. And I think it's odd that, you know, Minnesota swept the Warriors last year. And yet the Warriors now beat Minnesota this year 3 out of 4 times, and the season series is over. So, you know, the vagaries of the NBA on a given night, Toronto, frustrating loss for the Warriors. Toronto's next game, they go beat Boston by 13 points in Boston. So, like, this is a league we play in. It's definitely different on a nightly basis.
And you look at last night, Bob, and such an unbelievable start, and the 3-ball going down for Steph. Minnesota a little sleepy, and apologize for you not getting a lot of sleep, but Minnesota sure looked like they were asleep in the first quarter. But you look at the collective effort, and what do you attribute it to as far as the victory, other than shots finally going in?
Well, I think the thing is, Dibs, is that this is a super deep team. So I think you look at, you know, you're going to play that game. Minnesota's won 4 out of 5. They've got Anthony Edwards. Like, look out. Here they're coming. And you're like, wait, Draymond's not going to play, and Kyle Anderson's not going to play, and Kuminga's not going to play, and Pajemski's not going to play. But Guy Santos plays well. GP2 finally is healthy and has a big impact. Buddy Hield, I'll throw a number at you here that just shows everything about the Warriors. Buddy Hield had 18 points. When Buddy Hield has 18 points, the Warriors are 10-0 this year.
Yep.
They have yet to lose a game. And it just shows if they get a secondary scorer to help out Steph. And the key last night was Wiggins, Buddy, and Steph. You know, and that's the thing. Wiggins has had a very nice year. But if you look at the games missed, I mean, Steph's missed 8, Wiggins has missed 6, Kuminga's missed 8, Draymond's missed 7, Pajemski's missed 10, GP2's missed 11. Like, they need that depth. They need all the pieces, which is how they started 12-3, because they didn't have any injuries then. Everybody played, and they beat Boston and, you know, ended up beating OKC and played real good basketball. So I just think last night was sort of, hey, Guy Santos, it's your chance. Kevon Looney and Trace, you got all the center minutes. Buddy, we need you. Okay, he was there last night. And GP2, go guard Anthony Edwards, and Gary does that better than anybody. So, you know, and then Steph's brilliant. You know, Steph is Steph. So it was a great game. Minnesota, hell of a comeback, and the Warriors needed every one of those points that they built up in the first quarter for sure.
Bob Fitzgerald with us on Withered and Dibs. Fitz, I wonder what your take is on what the discussion has been all week, and I know you guys have been on the road, but clearly the Warriors were aware of all of it. Earlier in the week, it was like, look, we're not going to make an irresponsible trade. Last night, it was like, wait a minute, y'all didn't take that as a white flag, did you? What's your take on both what they've said and the way the NBA world has reacted?
Well, first of all, I mean, we all know, I mean, the NBA world, if the Warriors, you know, burp, people lose their mind. I mean, that's they are the team. They get all the coverage. They get, you know, every single article and this and that. And why do you do that in today's world? Because if you write Warriors, Steph Curry, or Steve Kerr, or Draymond Green in a headline, people will click on it. So that's just reality. So the Warriors live in that fishbowl, and they know it. But I think in the last couple years, when we were just in a city where you saw it, Minnesota makes a big move with Rudy Gobert, and there's almost five number one picks that go in that draft. And then Mikal Bridges goes from Brooklyn to New York, and there's five number ones in that draft, you know, in the trade. And then you look at Bradley Beal goes to Phoenix, and there's all these number ones. And you go back to Paul George and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all these number ones. And I think the coin of the realm now is, if you want any kind of significant piece, it's, you know, three number ones and three players and four pick swaps and all this crazy stuff. And so I think the Warriors, you know, when they're asked honest questions, they kind of answer honestly, like, hey, at the deadline, would you trade seven number ones and all three of your young players to get a player? And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. But it doesn't mean, aren't you going to try to be better each and every day? Of course, you know, if there's trades that would make sense and augment this team, absolutely they would do that. But the idea of don't have a pick until 2033 or something, the way you got Steph, Clay, and Draymond and these players were draft picks. So you can't just, I think, willy-nilly toss those away looking super short-term. And I think that was just the genesis of the conversation. And then because it's the Warriors, people go nuts.
Yeah, and I was looking at the way the Spurs elongated their dynastic run, Fitz, and they drafted Ginobili in the second round, and then they drafted Tony Parker. Of course, they drafted Tim Duncan and the rest of it, and then they made a savvy trade to get Kawhi Leonard in a draft day deal. So I do think there's great value in those picks. And the one thing that I'm sure you hear a lot about on this station and every station is Jonathan Kuminga and whether or not he should be trade bait and what they see as the future. When you look at Jonathan this year and put aside the ankle injury, and hopefully he's back in the next couple of weeks, but how big of a leap have you seen him make just from the start of the year to now?
It's such a great question, Dibs. I mean, first of all, young players that are talented are going to be talked about in the league, because if you're calling a team, you're always asking about young talent. I mean, that only makes sense, right? You know, so I'll find young guys. Hey, let's call the Timberwolves. Let's ask about Anthony Edwards. Of course you would. I mean, that's what happens. So I think for Kuminga, what is intriguing before the ankle injury, and Steve Kerr alluded to it, the numbers reflected things to help you win. See, I think there's guys in the league, and it's always been this way, that I call them angel food cake numbers, where, oh, this guy scores 20 a game or 18 a game, but doesn't guard anybody or doesn't rebound or doesn't do things that help you win. So I don't look at just stats. I look at what are you doing and how are you accumulating those stats. And what I love for JK in, you know, his recent vintage was he got rid of the mid-range jumper. When he gets his feet set and has a catch and shoot three, he makes a fair amount of those. Great. But he and Wiggins are the only two guys on the team that can attack the lane, dunk, lay it in, get fouled, get the team in the bonus, speed dribble and finish on the break like no human being I've ever seen for his size. You know, Kuminga started, hey, I'm going to get rid of the 16-footer that is I'm bailing out a defender. I'm going to go, bull my way into the lane. I'm going to get to the glass. He started to rebound at a good rate. And then defensively, working with Draymond, working with Kevon, working with Trace, working with Wiggins, like, hey, look at J.K. starting to guard, too. So, you know, I always tell people, this kid's 21 years old. You know, same thing with Moody. When you see 21, 22, the light bulb hasn't gone on. And when you're that young sometimes in the game. And so for J.K., I was just really pleased, just like Steve was, that the games up until when he got hurt, I think it was the best basketball he'd ever played. And he fit in the best. And so it was 30 minutes a night off the bench. People got crazy about starting lineups again. But 30 minutes, which are starter minutes, but stats that led to good things and good basketball. And I think Jonathan, when he comes back from the ankle, his mindset's changed. And I think he's at his best. And it's exciting to see kind of where he's going.
Fitz, we know you're tapped in around the league, and we spend so much time on this show talking to listeners about what they think should happen. I'd love to ask you what you think is going to happen. Like, do you expect a really active deadline, not just for the Warriors, but in totally around the league?
You know, Mark, when you look at it, OKC is on a different planet. Boston, Cleveland are on a different planet. There are some moons circling these planets. You know, I could see the Knicks making a run. I could see Memphis doing something. But, man, you've got teams in the West and the East that really are in a different stratosphere than a lot of the other teams. So do you look at it and say, hey, we're going to have this busy deadline because we're chasing the Thunder. We're chasing Boston and Cleveland. You could. I mean, the Denver Nuggets, as long as you have Jokic, You're always in play to be amazing. But I think there are teams that look at Dallas's run last year. Dallas was 26-23. Okay, they're only three games over 500, 49 games into the season. And they got Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington. And people went, well, okay, they got those two guys. But it fueled a run where they finished 24-9 and then were so hot through the playoffs, they made it all the way to the finals. And so I think teams are looking at those type of deals. You know, what do I have? You know, if I'm Denver, I've got Jokic, I've got Jamal Murray, I've got Gordon. And then, you know, what do I need? You know, they probably would be in the market for maybe a disgruntled off guard who's been really good, who's saying he wants to be traded. I don't know what team would have that guy, but
I can't
maybe
think of one.
You know, yeah, maybe near South Beach or something.
Huh.
But those type of teams look at it. If I'm Phoenix, When they're healthy, when you have Durant and Bradley Beal and Booker, there's a reason they got Nick Richards yesterday, because they need a center to kind of help out. Nurkic and Plumlee haven't worked out as well, but Budenholzer's a great coach, and there's a ton of talent on that team. So could they get hot and make a run? Of course they could. And so, you know, I look at what Houston has done. Who'd want to play Houston in a seven-game series? You'd have so many bruises on your body, you would need a massage for like the next 6 weeks when the season was over. Like, the Rockets play so hard. So I think there are teams where you're like, hey, there's some real title contenders this year. But around the edges, there's teams in both conferences that kind of feel like, hey, let's do that Dallas thing. Let's get one or two guys, maybe jumpstart something, and see if we can have a 24-9 run to finish the season and then ride that hot hand through the playoffs.
Is there a type of player, and I don't want you to have to name check any available targets because you probably have knowledge that you don't want to share, but the Warriors, it seems like, have more depth when everyone gets healthy than they can really utilize. Is there a player type out there that you would love to bring in to use some of the depth in a trade to bring in a rotational piece?
Well, I don't think that, you know, it's any state secret that spacing matters so much in the NBA. And so when you look at a big that can space the floor, you know, Kevon and Trace are both in the lane. You know, even the Indiana game when Quentin Post came in for just a couple minutes, on Quentin's had two 30-point games in Santa Cruz. And so for the 52nd pick, it's like, okay, you know, but that's a 7-footer that has 3-point ability. And there are some 7-footers in the league that can do that. When the Warriors have a big that can space the floor, now everything's not as congested for Steph and for Buddy. So if I've got Buddy Hield in one corner, I've got a big that's bringing the other big out near the, you know, the three-point line because he can, he's a threat from three. Now Kuminga can drive. Now Wiggins can drive. Now Draymond can get in the pocket and then dish out to Steph or Buddy Hield or, you know, a spacing big and stuff like that. So I just think if you look at the Warriors structurally, you know, a big that's a three-point threat would be an issue. And that's why when Draymond is shooting 40% on threes, he's getting all he can eat, and you know teams are daring him to make them. And when Draymond's hitting threes, the Warriors are really good because that's a guy that is now spacing the floor from a big position, a 4 or 5 spot. Same thing when Kuminga is able to hit a couple threes and stuff. So when you say type of player, you know, a big that can space the floor, you know, that's something that I think would augment a lot of what the Warriors have on the roster right now.
And we won't say any names from you, but I'll mention that Nikola Vucevic will be here a week from tonight. Just saying.
Hey!
If anybody wants to watch Nikola Vucevic, I don't know which jersey he'll be wearing, but he'll be here next Thursday night. All right, Bob Fitzgerald joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, I still really like Dennis Schroeder, but it's been a bumpy sort of start for him. What's your take on what's going on there?
Well, first of all, he's a pick-and-roll point guard. So the Warriors haven't really had a pick-and-roll point guard. And so they don't run a lot of pick-and-roll that way. And so you saw the opening series of the game yesterday. It was Schroeder, you know, kind of baiting Gobert, lob to Trace, boom, dunk, perfect pick-and-roll. I think when Steph sits, Schroeder running the team is as good a backup point guard as they've had since having Chris Paul, who, by the way, was a pick-and-roll point guard and kind of had Trace burst on the scene because he got to play with Chris Paul. So, you know, I think Schroeder probably is there for the non-Steph minutes, but what Dennis really does is he's a good defender. I mean, DeAnthony Melton being injured obviously hurt this team at a big, big level because he was the perfect tag team partner for Steph, both offensively and defensively, and he's a little bigger than Schroeder. But Dennis Schroeder's guarding Cade Cunningham. Dennis is in there kind of gumming up things with Minnesota last night. I mean, he is such a pesky defender and such a smart player. And I think leadership-wise, he's fit in terms of you now have Draymond who's a voice and Steph who's a voice and Schroeder who's a voice and Kyle and Looney who are voices. And so he and Steph, like a pick-and-roll point guard with Steph, okay, hey, play off the ball, but he's never really played with like a one that plays that way with that high screen role. Yeah, there's some adjustment to it, but I think after Melton got hurt, the save to get Dennis Schroeder is amazing. Like, amazing that they were able to acquire him, you know, and obviously hopefully DeAnthony's surgery goes great and he's back in the league next year because he's a special player that, man, it was only 6 games, but I sure love watching him play with the Dubs.
Yeah, a genius move to acquire Schroeder when they did because they could possibly trade him the day before the deadline. Not saying they want to, but he would be eligible to be dealt. Hey, Bob, why doesn't Kyle Anderson get more playing time? I thought that a two-way player and a glue guy that he'd be getting more run than he is.
You know, I think it's interesting, and he's got the same flu that kind of Draymond's had, is that he is a little bit duplicative of Draymond, but there are times you can play Kyle at kind of the five because he's such a good passer. You know, he was a point guard his whole life, and then he had a big 6-inch growth spurt later, and he has all these guard skills. But I think they have spotted him at different times. And then like Looney, he's been such a professional where Steve's like, hey, I'm going to go with Kuminga in these minutes, or I'm going to give Moody an opportunity. You know, you and Kevon are going to be the guys that are going to sit out a little bit. And Kyle's just such a pro's pro that, you know, he knows it's a long season. And he is fun to watch play. Kalen and I love his passing ability. He's got that 7'3 wingspan. So, you know, he ends up picking pockets a lot in terms of knocking balls away. Super tough guy. And, you know, you love the slow-mo stuff because he does not just squeeze off random perimeter shots when the game is going against you. He'll put his head down and get in the lane, get fouled, make a shot inside. And he's just a great guy to have on the roster. But, you know, you guys are alluding to when you've got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guys that you feel like you can play, you know, it's a whack-a-mole for Steve. Kind of like, okay, Steph's going to play. Got that. Okay, Draymond's going to play. Got that. Okay, on a given night, who else is playing? You know, and that's where you get into different matchups and who's healthy and who's hot and who's struggling and who's playing good and trying to mix and match on some of those nights.
Bob Fitzgerald with us. Hey, man, go enjoy a couple nights off. And then Jordan Poole's in town this weekend.
Jordan Poole, and then you weren't even going to ask me about the national championship game on Monday night?
Well,
we were.
We were. I mean.
We kind of know which way you would lean as far as a prediction goes.
Eight-point underdog, Bob. I mean, it just feels like a real uphill battle for you.
It probably is. It probably is. Although, I have a degree from both institutions. So I got my master's at Ohio State, so I win either way.
So you're rooting for Ohio State?
No.
Okay. Are you going to do the Joe Montana thing and wear a split jersey for each and say, I can't lose?
No, I will actually be in Atlanta for that game, and I will proudly be having Notre Dame gear on. So
beautiful.
I'll be there for that.
Of all the all-time Fitz flexes, that might be my favorite. Just flex on a Masters, because we all know you're an Irish, but didn't know you had a Masters and didn't know you were a Buckeye too, Bob. Well done. Good flex.
Hey, you're already shortchanging me 7 years of my career. What the hell? I might as well flex a little on the way out.
32 years, Bob? I mean, how old are we, for crying out loud? My goodness.
Hey, old enough that I'm taking my college graduate Notre Dame son with me to the, you know, to the game.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I'll leave you. This is the ultimate flex.
Okay.
The last time Notre Dame won a national championship, some guy named Bob Fitzgerald did the student radio broadcast of that game in the Fiesta Bowl against Major Harris.
Virginia.
That's how long it's been.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
Lucas, Newt Rockne?
Lucas wants to know what you got your master's in.
Sports management.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Sports manager came out and worked for this company called Bay Area Hockey 91 that somehow became the San Jose Sharks.
Man,
how about that?
We got to name the team and pick the jerseys and pick the logo and sell the tickets and the whole bit.
You flex so much, you should be a professional bodybuilder, Bob.
You guys are fantastic. I tell you what, I never miss your conversation with Steve each week. It's really good, guys.
Oh, appreciate it, Bob. Yeah. Now we get to flex. Thank you very much. Go get some rest, man.
All right. Hey, anytime. Great talking to you. Made my day.
Okay.
All right, Fitz.
Us too. There he goes. Bob Fitzgerald.